It's October. Finally feels like October. Oh, this takes me back. This is one of those songs that I used to listen to on my little transistor radio back in the days of growing up on the mean streets of Metairie. Actually, they weren't really that mean, but it sounds cool. The mean streets of Metairie. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. It really is a great afternoon. We were talking earlier about this new survey from Forbes that has come out showing that 61% of Americans feel the election is affecting their mental health. And 46% say they have anxiety, 37% stress, and 31% say they have feelings of fear with the upcoming election. So how do you escape this? I hope you can find ways to do that. And just getting out and enjoying the day is one way to do it. And, you know, you don't have to talk about this all the time. I guess some of you do, but, you know, you don't have to talk about the election all the time with everybody. You don't have to get into arguments. And, you know, once the show's over, if I'm not preparing for the show, I don't like to talk about this. You know, occasionally it comes up, but I generally let this go after the show and after I'm preparing for it. But it's a big topic. I am a political junkie by my own admission, and I enjoy following the dynamics of it. And boy, there has just never been an election cycle like this. And for those of you who are Zoomers and millennials, this may be the first election you're really paying attention to. And if that's the case, I appreciate you spending time with us here on WWL from 1 to 4 in the afternoon, because we're going to always do the best we can to give you the truth and to tell you some things that other shows and other social media around the country is not going to introduce you to. I have never said anything hateful about Donald Trump, and don't plan on it. But, you know, this is a very contentious election. And one thing we're talking about again this hour is how to define who is the enemy within. And Donald Trump is defining Democrats as dangerous to our country. Democrats dangerous to America. Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, Democrat from California, as being the enemy within. And I just don't think it's fair to give that label to fellow Americans who only disagree with opinions. Now, they more than disagree. They have policies that you can disagree with. But even the crisis at the border is not going to ruin this country. And I guarantee you that Kamala Harris, if she is elected, she better do something about the border. It's interesting that Donald Trump is now talking about a plan to increase the number of border guards. But there was a bill that increased the number of border guards that he told Republicans to vote against. So he was against it then, now he's for it. So look, the border is a mess, it is a crisis, and whoever wins this election better do something about the border. But aside from that, disagreeing with somebody does not equate with the enemy within. And then the idea of using the military against the enemy within, what the hell does that mean? Hey, let me take a moment to just congratulate those people who are bringing the activities around the Super Bowl to New Orleans and those who were behind bringing the Super Bowl here in the first place. New Orleans is going to have a carnival-style parade before the Super Bowl with Mardi Gras floats. This is going to be awesome because a lot of people have never experienced Mardi Gras, and they're going to have a chance to experience what it's like. And I think that you know, we, the people of this area, we need to come together and come downtown and enjoy that parade and show them how we celebrate. And the cool thing about this is going to be great publicity because all the media that is in town from around the world is going to show this parade. And they're going to show all of these activities going on in New Orleans before the Super Bowl next February. And we'll be talking a lot about that as time gets a little closer. There is a sheriff in Georgia who is up for re-election. He is dealing with a lot of backlash now because the Burger King that he went to got his order wrong. He called in backups. He called in backups, and a few deputies showed up with their lights flashing, sirens blaring over this idea that this police officer, this sheriff who's up for re-election, didn't get his right order at Burger King. All right. Are you registered to vote? The election's coming up. Here's how you can find out. You can go to Louisiana Secretary of State's webpage, the Louisiana Secretary of State webpage. You can Google that, Louisiana Secretary of State. Go to the webpage and enter your name in the inactive voter search and see if you're inactive. Louisiana law allows you, if you're an inactive voter, to cast your votes on Election Day. You can be an inactive voter and cast your votes on Election Day, as long as your address has not changed or you still live in the same voting precinct. Bring your ID with you to the polls and fill out a voter confirmation card. If you have not voted in the last two federal elections and you want to now, and if you have not confirmed your address, you may have been dropped from the voter rolls. And we have a website. It's a register to vote website. On our website at WWL.com, you can go there. The story is titled, How to Make Sure You're Registered to Vote. You can click on that and find out more information. Before we get, I tell you what, I'm going to do this after the next break. I'm going to give you some information on how you could become a poll commissioner, because Louisiana is looking for poll commissioners, and it pays $200 for the day. And what you need to do is you need to contact your parish clerk of court, the parish clerk of court in your parish. I've got a number of the phone numbers from some of the parishes in this immediate area, and I'm going to give those out after the next break. So get a pen or a piece of paper ready, because if you want to be a poll commissioner, you could earn $200 for that day. And a lot of people are retiring, but some people are just deciding they don't want to do it anymore. And I wonder if people are concerned just about just the contentious nature of this election day. So if you want to be part of the process and get paid $200 for it, I'll give you a number to call coming up in just a few minutes. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. It is a beautiful Wednesday. Let's get to a few of your calls. I want to continue to try to define the enemy within. Is it okay to say that if you're a MAGA supporter, is it okay to say that Democrats who disagree with Trump and disagree with you, are they the enemy within? And I think this is a legitimate question, because of some of the posts that I get on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air. Some of the posts make it seem like I'm the enemy. I'm not the enemy. I'm a patriotic American. I love this country. I have different views than some people have. So what? I mean, I've always had different views from somebody else. You know, we've always disagreed. You know, there's always one side and then there's the other side. So why are we demonizing and calling the other side the enemy within? All right, let's go to Gentile. Elmo, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, thank you for taking my call. It is a great day. I wanted to address the enemy within. I heard one of your previous callers suggest ignorance, and that's what I feel. It is absolutely the ignorance that thrives in this country. And I want to read a couple of Isaac Asimov's. I'm part of the. I'm so old. I'm part of the greatest generation, just barely though. I got to vote first in 1968.
Okay, so you've seen a lot.
You had to be 21. So anyway, quoting Isaac Asimov, there is a cult of ignorance in the United States, and there has always been. A strain of anti-intellectualism has been a constant thread winding its way through our political and cultural life, nurtured by the false notion that democracy means that my ignorance is just as good as your knowledge. Now, before interpreting that, I'd like to read another one. It says he wrote this back in the 70s now, or late 60s or early 70s. When stupidity is considered patriotism, it is unsafe to be intelligent. And another one that I like is violence is the last refuge for the incompetent.
Wow.
And, you know, people can look up Isaac Asimov. He was a great science fiction writer. And he has a lot of very smart quotes relating to this growing ignorance. Or I think your previous caller called it willful ignorance. sitting down in front of the TV and watching one news channel all the time. Mm-hmm. And since I first voted in 1968, I want to address the other issue about the anxiety. I never had in that period of time, I voted in every election, okay, but I never had in that period of time any anxiety if a Republican won or a Democratic won. You know, I'm really middle ground. It never bothered me. Life would go on and they would do their time and things would work out. But this 2020 deal since the January 6th and all that, I have a lot of anxiety now, fearful of the Trump victory, and that I've never experienced before. I think the whole nation has never experienced anything. Well, they haven't, you know. 223 years when they first started out from exchanging power between presidents, they've never had a situation like this before. And so I do have that anxiety. And how I handle it, I go write stuff. I have to write my anxiety. What the heck I'm seeing. You know,
no, that's a good way to manifest your feelings.
And I post some of it. I wanted to post you some of it, as a matter of fact, but I couldn't figure out how to respond to it unless I respond to somebody's comment.
Well, you could. I guess you could go to Scoot on the Air Facebook and find one of the topics that is similar, and I'm going to be writing a new blog about the enemy within, and you could add it to that as a comment.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Elmo, I appreciate appreciate your insight and appreciate you listening, and those were really profound comments. You know, the other really scary thing is accepting as truth anything the candidate that you believe in says, because the candidate that you believe in might be using you. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. If you have sent us a text, hang on. We're going to go to Ian with some of your text messages, and we'll get to more of your calls coming up. And also, coming up next, I want to give you some of the phone numbers to call if you're interested in becoming a poll commissioner. It pays $200 a day, well, for the day, for Election Day, November 5th, and it gives you a chance to be part of the process. And Louisiana needs poll commissioners, and some people are retiring and some people are deciding they don't want to be part of the process. And I think it's because of the contentious nature of this campaign. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1976, disco was raging. And a disc jockey in Memphis, Rick Dees, had the number one song in America with Disco Duck. It was the last novelty song to be number one on the Hot 100 charts. It really had kind of a good beat, but it was a really corny song. Here it is. Yeah, I remember this. I remember playing this in my early years in radio when I was doing music radio. All right, I'm Scoot. Hang on. We're coming
this
right
sucks.
Back on WWL. It does suck. No saying that if Kamala Harris wins, we're going to lose our right to freedom of speech. But what about Trump? Is he a threat to freedom of speech? The disregard for basic freedom, the disregard for disagreement in this country during this campaign is appalling and totally unacceptable. And as Americans, we should totally denounce it. I don't care who you're voting for. We should collectively denounce it. Kamala Harris was at a rally the other day in Erie, Pennsylvania. And she says that we know who Donald Trump is, and she featured a montage video of Donald Trump fear-mongering and talking about, quote, enemies from within and the use of the military to handle, quote, radical left lunatics. This is if he wins the presidency. Now, if these people aren't doing anything violent, what's his justification for using the military? Is he talking about rounding up people? Is he talking about using the military against people who disagree with him? He's not talking about violent actions. He's talking about people that just have a different opinion from him. He's talking about Democrats as being a danger to the country and that they are the enemy within. That's way too severe. You can't call Democrats or anybody who disagrees with you the enemy from within unless they're really trying to do something to ruin this country. and having a different course of action on how to make America great, because everybody wants America to be great. Having a different course of action to do that does not justify being called the enemy from within. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's go to James in Harvey. James, you're on WWL. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for letting me on, brother. It's such a beautiful day for me to feel so sour, but I'm always negative, so let me continue.
As if we're not sad enough because of the Saints' performance in the second half, now we've got other stuff to be sad about.
Well, here's my take on the enemy with them. A lot of people hired this man because he was supposed to shake things up. And whether he was a great businessman or not, our country is in its infancy. You don't shake the baby too much. You shake it too much, then something can happen. So I want to blame the people, some of the finest people in the country that he hired, even in his cabinet. He considered those people to be enemy with him. If they disagreed with him, he fired them. For example, the Veterans Administration. In the first year, he had, I think, 6 or 7 directors on the cabinet from the VA. If you go to the Department of Education, his first appointee lasted exactly 3 weeks before he fired that man. Then he appointed somebody that had no experience whatsoever with public education. I think a name of DeVos or whatever. That was another part of that dumpster fire. And the last example I want to give is he appointed, I think it was a governor, Rick Perry, I think, the Secretary of Energy, who wanted to get rid of the Department of Energy until he found out what they did. He had no idea what they did, and we found out they were in charge of nukes and nuclear weapons.
And James, you know, I love when Trump announced that he would only hire the best people, and many of the best people ended up being bad in his opinion, and he fired them.
Over and over. And even if they didn't agree with him, and they wanted to continue with the growth of our country, they were enemies.
Yeah, and now some of those best people that he said were the best people, now they're campaigning for Harris and voting for her.
Well, one of the other best people was his vice president. I wonder why he's not running. So people, including you brothers out there, because I got 2 more appointees I want to talk about. He, one of the least effective departments he had was the EEOC. And the EEOC in this area was closed down for almost 2 years, almost a year before COVID and during COVID. The second thing I want to say to the brothers, because we have more interaction with those two, is the National Labor Relations Board. The people he pointed to the National Labor Relations Board were anti-labor. They were lawyers, and they were consultants to how to bust up unions. And the whole purpose of the National Labor Relations Board is fair practices of labor. I mean, to me, that's the enemy with that. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to spot off, Steve.
Yeah. All right, James, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Thibodeau and Stephen. You're on WWL. Good afternoon, Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Scoot, the enemy within is simply, it's the elite. It's the political elite, the financially elite. It's just, you know, it's that top 0.1%. It's not a side. It's not a political party. It's just them against us. They do crazy things to distract us.
Yeah, I basically agree with that. But Trump's not qualifying that. He's not qualifying the enemy within as the elite. He's being very specific in saying that Democrats, he's mentioning a few Democrats that are part of the elite, but he's just also mentioning Democrats in general as being the enemy within.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think he has it wrong. And maybe the military could be used to fight the enemy within. If we, the people, can all decide that the enemy within is the very top who is just running everything and running everything into the ground, ruining it for those of us that have to live in it.
But what do you do with it? What do you do with the military? I mean, he hasn't been specific about that. I mean, is this like just a shallow threat that it will use the military and it riles up his people, his followers, when What is the military going to actually do? Are they going to throw people in jail?
Yeah, no, I think the military comment was just the, like you said, to rile up the MAGA.
Yeah. But I wish the MAGA people would realize that that's what he's doing. He's just trying to rile you up. He's not going to actually do it. So he's talking about doing something that he's not actually really going to do. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
All right, here's a text message that says, I'm almost 50 years old, and I've never heard of a presidential candidate call other Americans enemies until Trump came along.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is totally unacceptable, and that's why we've been spending the afternoon talking about this, because this is an important thing.
Here's a text that says, the enemy within is Trump. None of this started until Trump became president, and all he does is knock our country. Who needs a felon for president?
Well, there's that, too.
We talked about the anxiety election a little bit earlier today. Here's a text that says, as a person of color, of course, I'm stressed about the election, especially if Trump is on the ballot. Project 2025 will change our lives forever. My parents, who came here legally on a green card, who are now in their 80s, could be deported. But I play video games mostly to escape. All the other elections I've lived through were easy to ignore.
Yeah, you know, please, everybody, if you're stressed by this election, don't be. You don't have to be. You don't have to watch the news all the time. You don't have to sit there at your computer and look for things to be stressed about or to be angry about. You don't have to do that. You have every right to be happy, to be a happy American leading up to this election, and it's okay to find ways to relieve the stress.
Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, do you expect people that got fired for doing a lazy job to give a good opinion of Trump?
People who did a lazy job.
I think the texter is saying that Trump fired people because they were lazy, and then they spoke out against him later because they were mad they got fired.
I think they disagreed with him. I think they wouldn't. A lot of those people who got fired would not follow through on what he wanted them to follow through on because they knew the law. They knew the scope of their authority, and they didn't want to go beyond it. And so they got fired because they didn't follow along with him wanting them to do something they shouldn't do.
We're not even talking strictly about people that got fired. Bill Barr didn't get fired.
Right.
That's true. You know, he's out here. He's got nothing good to say about Trump.
Man, he was a Trump. He was a Trump butt kisser. I mean, he was, man, he did everything to support Donald Trump when he was attorney general. And, you know, he is now totally turned on Donald Trump. So why are all these people turning on Donald Trump? There's an answer to that. But does anybody really want to answer that question?
Yeah, just to hammer, like there's lots of people that got fired and came out and had an unpopular opinion about Trump, but there's people that did not get fired that just served out their terms, and then there's also people who quit.
You know? Yeah, that's
and,
true.
Yeah, plenty of Republican people who are saying now, you know, people in his cabinet, people in his business world, they're saying, you know, he's a fascist.
In fact, Kamala Harris just held a rally trying to attract Republican voters Republican voters and also Republicans to support her. There are some high-ranking Republicans who are supporting Kamala Harris, and Geraldo Rivera, who has been a personal friend of Donald Trump for many years, is voting for Harris. Former President Jimmy Carter, who lives in Georgia, early voting started yesterday. Jimmy Carter voted for Kamala Harris. I mean, that's not a surprise because they're both Democrats. All right, listen, I promise as soon as we come back, I'm going to give you the information, some of the phone numbers for the parish clerks of court. If you're interested in being a poll commissioner, we've got some numbers for you coming up next. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1982, Dolly Parton's song, I Will Always Love You, was number one as a country hit. It was a country hit in 1974. It went back on top in 1982 because of the movie The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, which starred Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds. Funny movie. The song was number one by Whitney Houston in 1993. But yeah, Dolly Parton was the original singer-songwriter for I Will Always Love You. Whitney Houston made it really famous, but Dolly Parton was the original, and it was the first song at the time in 1982 to become number one two different times. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. I don't know why this country has become divided to the point where we've got a presidential candidate referring to Democrats, fellow Americans, as the enemy within. Representative Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio, he was talking in an interview with Newsmax about the Democrats being the party of censorship. And he says that the left is the party of censorship, and to protect freedom of speech, we have to unite and elect Donald Trump. Let's go to Michael in Metairie. Michael, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, real quick, I want to talk about the inequities and the bizarre nature of the electoral process in America. It's the only process in America or in the world where you can lose by 3 million votes and still win. And by the way, Donald Trump said today, he said, the American people want this product. I went, well, Donald, you need to look in the mirror, because 3 million American people voted, 3 million more voted against you when Hillary ran against you. Also, the other dumbest president of all time, George W. Bush, was beaten by 500,000 people of the real people voting, not some stupid electoral process. And this is, I'm sure they didn't think about this, these great founding fathers. But the electoral process can lead to this bizarre result. You get one person wins by 6 million votes. Say it's Kamala.
Michael, look, I agree with you about the Electoral College. I have feelings about that, but we're not going to change that between now and November 5th. So I think we just need to focus on the system we have and do the best we can with it. Look, before I go any further, let me give you this information. If you would possibly want to be a poll commissioner for the upcoming election, Louisiana is looking for poll commissioners. It pays $200 on Election Day, and you need to contact the clerk of court in your parish. Here's the phone number for the clerk of court in Orleans Parish, 504-407-0000. That's 504-407-0000. Here is the number of clerk of court for Jefferson Parish, 504-364-2900. 504-364-2900. Here's the parish clerk of court for St. Tammany Parish, 985-809-8700. 985-809-8700. Here's the clerk of court for St. Bernard Parish, collectively known as the parish, 504-271-3434. 504-271-3434. For St. Charles Parish, this is the clerk of court number, 985-783-6632. 985-783-6632. St. John the Baptist Parish, clerk of court, 985-497-3331. 985-497-3331. And here's the clerk of court for Plaquemines Parish, 504-934-6610. 504-934-6610. And if you're in Terrebonne, Lafourche, or any one of the other parishes, any parish, just contact the clerk of court in your parish and find out about being a poll commissioner. They might need you. And again, it pays $200 a day. And some people have retired, and some people have decided they just don't want to be part of the process anymore. We've got to get to a break here on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. On this day in 1976, this was the number one album in the country. Songs in the Key of Life, Stevie Wonder. Double album, had some really great stuff on it, and some of the deep cuts on this were just really, really brilliant things. And, you know, here was a song that, we all remember, and again, this is one of those songs that I remember playing as a DJ when I was doing a morning show on music radio. But, this was the number one album. You know, a lot of disco was going on in 76, but there were some songs that were not disco that made it big, and the songs on this album made this album number one in the country. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby, Mike, and Steve. The Saints play Sean Payton and the Broncos tomorrow in the Dome, and we'll be talking about that a lot on the show tomorrow. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Daya Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi, who loves Disco Duck, obviously. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. Join me on Scoot on the Air Facebook. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.